We seldom realise, for example, that our most private thoughts and emotions are actually not our own. If we think in terms of language and images which we did not invent, but which were given to us by our society. And this week's opening quote comes from Alan Watts. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And it's nice to be back, folks. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'd like to give you an apology right now because I do not think I'm going to have time to put any relevant graphics on this video this week. So you're probably going to have a nature display or the same old graphic display that you've got so many times. So I apologize in advance. I've just had way too much on. We've had 5G action and all sorts of things going on the ground here, and just I haven't had time to put any type of video presentation together for this week's show, so sorry about that. And something else that I wanted to mention was, just in case you missed it, a couple of days ago I posted a video on BitChute. It was an analysis of the Christchurch shooting. Actually, it was an analysis of the claims of hoax that are being made with the Christchurch shooting. What I actually did was I shared with you my original research when the claims of hoax were first made. What I've done is I've given you a walkthrough of the video, and I've kind of shared with you what I went through in my attempt to validate the claims that were being made of CGI shell casings and no windshield damage and stuff like that. So I've posted that on BitChute. If you missed it, I do recommend that you go and check it out. It was quite a detailed report. Actually, I think it's quite an important report as well. And I was actually going to do, as I mentioned, I think on the last show, I said I was going to do a report covering the windshield damage and the CGI shell casings issue. But what I did, as I just said, was give you a walkthrough of the entire shooter's video. So you can go and find that. If you go to my channel, you'll find a little 1 minute video there just called NZ Analysis, and you'll find a link below that that will take you to BitChute, and you can watch the video there. I couldn't post it on YouTube because if I did, I would have been censored. And if you're having difficulty watching it on BitChute, because BitChute is censored in a lot of countries, it's censored here in Australia, then you may need to download and install a VPN. And if you haven't got a VPN or you can't afford a VPN, you might just be able to go and download the Tor browser, and you'll be able to view it through the Tor browser. If you use the Tor browser, you find you can access most sites that you're blocked from anyway. And I'll put a link to the Tor browser below this video. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'll put a link below. So you can just go and download that, and then you should just be able to copy-paste the URL into Tor, and you'll be able to view the video. But I do recommend that you go and check that out, folks. And I decided to make this video and do a full walkthrough of the shooter's video and not just an analysis of the shell casings due to a picture I found while I was doing an image search looking for a picture of the shooter's car. I actually found a compilation, like a composite image that had used some of my images from the video, and it had given you a rundown of the car and basically an analysis of the car and basically said the car was a dead end, it was a limited hangout and led nowhere. And I found it quite intriguing because this picture had actually run the wrong license plate. So it really made me look at this and realize just how important the information that I've presented is, you know, why there's such an enormous effort to misdirect attention away from that car. I thought that was quite a neat little piece of gatekeeping, and I followed it through. As I mentioned in the video, I've actually found a lot of hit pieces that have been written about me. There's a big, big attempt to smear me and to shift attention away from what I've uncovered in this Christchurch video, you know, the man in red and the car. Very, very important things that expose that the government's story is completely bogus. And really, I mean, information that could wake up the most asleep, brain-dead TV program drone without any conspiratorial reference at all. I mean, in a way, you know, this video kind of bridges the gap between the real world and the conspiratorial world, you know, between the real media and the independent media. It shows the people out there who think that we're all just conspiracy theorists that actually we're not. We're not what we're talking about, and that we can prove the government is lying with this video. So it's pretty important that people get some focus on it, I think. I mean, that's why I have been pushing it so much, And that's why I've been getting so much flack. That's why there's such a huge smear campaign launched against me at the moment, folks. Think about it, you know, the information that I put out there regarding the man in red and the car and all this sort of stuff, no one can dispute this. No one can dispute what I found in the video. So the only other option they've got is character assassination of me in the hope that people will turn away. Just don't listen to this guy. We don't want you hearing what this guy is saying. So it's a huge opportunity for us all, folks. So I do recommend you go and check out that video on BitChute. And if you're someone out there who's been researching the Christchurch shooting and you've been supporting the notion that it's a hoax, I really recommend you go and check out this report that I've just done. And let me know if you can still support the claims of it being a hoax after watching this report. And, you know, just put down any confirmation bias and put down any need to be right either way. And that's the thing with it. As I've said so many times, I don't need to be right either way. I'm just looking at the evidence the video actually shows us and the opportunity it actually provides for us should we choose to focus on that evidence. But anyway, I won't get stuck on this topic. I just wanted to alert you to the fact that that video exists. And it's good, actually. One of the listeners alerted me to the fact that it was trending on BitChute. It was trending as the most popular video trending on the day that it was uploaded. And I just checked BitChute this morning, and it was actually trending as the most popular video this week on BitChute. So that's nice to see as well. At least a lot of people are watching it. And it's nice to see that we have a platform where the algorithms actually work and they actually show you the videos that are trending, and they actually have the view counts having an actual influence on what you see on the trending page, not what we see on YouTube. So that's nice to see as well, very refreshing. But anyway, with all the negative stuff that's happening lately, you know, with the rollout of 5G and the way it's just all going full ahead and, you know, rolling out, they're not really caring what the people think. With all of this happening, have you been feeling really kind of positive lately? Have you been feeling like the wheels are actually falling off the system? Because I have. You know, when I really look at what's going on here and I look at how they really are rushing out 5G as much as they can, with even with all the work that we've done here in Australia, getting the barrister Ray Broomhall in and all the action he's taking, I'm still seeing the 5G cell towers going up all over the place. You know, I'm hearing about positive successes in the legal world regarding this, but I'm still seeing the small cell towers go up. So they're pushing it anyway. So, you know, with all of this, I think the people are going to start pushing back soon. I think a lot of people have had enough. You know, and they're fumbling so badly. Like, they really, really blew it with this Christchurch shooting. And the amount of censorship that they've had to roll out on the back of that because they just blew it so badly has really woken a lot of people up. There's a lot of people here in Australia that are kind of looking at the internet now going, well, what happened? What happened to all those sites we used to visit? What happened to everything? I mean, why has everything gotten so crazy so quickly? And what is this 5G stuff? What are we doing with these towers outside our houses, these small cell towers? You know, a lot of people are kind of getting the message with this, and there's still a lot of people that are apathetic, but, you know, I think that the push that's coming is probably going to push them into action as well. And I don't know, I'm just feeling kind of positive. No matter how much things attempt to make me feel negative, I'm just kind of feeling positive. And it does get hard sometimes. I mean, a month or so ago, I was feeling reasonably depressed about things. I mean, just, I think sometimes it just catches up with you, this lifestyle and, you know, a life of activism and trying to bang your head against the wall, getting people to wake up and see how they're being played. It does get a little frustrating sometimes, and you can feel a little behind the eight ball occasionally. But lately, I've just been feeling really positive, like the wheels are falling off the system. I mean, look, even with the whole Epstein arrest and all of this sort of stuff, you know, the exposing of the Lolita Express and all the pedophile activity that happens on his island, all that stuff, the amount of people that are implicated in that, you know, you've got Clinton implicated, you've got Trump implicated, you've got all sorts of people implicated. A lot of people that probably aren't even mentioned are probably implicated as well, but we're not just not hearing about them. But, you know, it's kind of helped people, hopefully, to see that, you know, the government is corrupt. It doesn't matter. You know, the deep state is what happens when they close the doors. Trump's not your friend. Nothing in the government is ever going to provide any remedy to what we're facing, you know, because what we're facing really is a loss of self, a loss of humanity, a loss of what it means to be a human in every aspect of our lives. So, you know, perhaps that's helping as well. Perhaps that's helping the QTubers see that they've just been kept on a yo-yo string for the last 2 years. You know, and the way Trump has overridden all of the state legislation regarding 5G, and he's attempting to roll it out just blanket across the country, trying to override it with federal legislation, still pumping weapons into Yemen. A lot of people are tweaking to the fact that North Korea has just been this massive CIA puppet show since the very beginning. And the amount of fumbling and the level of complete ineptness that they displayed with the Christchurch shooting, I mean, how much they blew that and how much the information is actually getting out to people, it kind of looks like the wheels are falling off, folks. I mean, they're stumbling so badly, they're desperately trying to keep one foot going in front of the other and keep the process going forward, but so many people are looking at it going, you know, what is this? It's like the Keystone Cops or something. So, you know, I just don't know. I just don't know if they're going to make it through. I think the people are going to stand up. I think people are going to wake up and realize that we don't have to do anything to stop this. All we have to do is stop complying with it. We don't have to have a revolution. We don't have to do any of that stuff. All we have to do is say, no, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to do something else and stop complying with our own slavery, because, you know, the slavery system isn't here yet. It's not completely in place yet. We have to continue to comply with it until it is all in place, and then it'll be virtually inescapable, but it's not in place yet. So all we have to do is prevent it from ever rolling out to completion, and we've kind of got ourselves in a far better predicament than we are now. And that's really all we need to do for the moment, folks, is just not comply with it and help other people see the ridiculousness of what these people are doing, the ridiculousness of what the government's doing. You know, it's just a farcical puppet show. It really is. And I've often found that by laughing at them, you actually get a far better result with people you're attempting to wake up than by screaming fear all the time. If you point at the politicians and laugh at their actions and just point out how ridiculous and stupid it all is, it kind of helps the people see just how much they're fumbling over themselves to try to make everything they're doing appear legitimate when it's not. It's just this whole big theatrical show, all designed to make you think that they're actually doing something when they're really doing exactly the opposite. But yeah, there's no remedy in politics. There really isn't, folks. But getting back to the censorship as well, I mean, the censorship is really going through the roof. It really is. We can't depend on any of the platforms we've depended on before. So many people have told me that my videos are not coming up in their subscriptions. So many people are being deleted from my subscriptions as well, from my YouTube subscriptions. People are telling me they've got to subscribe over and over again. It's just happening constantly. Sometimes you can even notice your video view count drop down in YouTube. You watch your subscriptions drop, you watch your video counts drop. I mean, how can video view counts drop? I mean, how can they go backwards, folks? It doesn't make sense. So that's what we're seeing on YouTube. So it's very important that we find new platforms. And it's the same with Facebook as well. So many people have been shadow banned on Facebook. I saw an interesting video put out by Matt Landman the other day where he talked about social media. He was having a problem. He's on one of the 30-day bans or whatever that they give you, and he opened up another account and pretended he was someone else, just a completely fresh Facebook account, and he attempted searching for chemtrail groups, and he couldn't find any of the hundreds of chemtrail groups that are there on Facebook. None of them would come up in the search, no matter how much he searched. He could even put in the actual name, the correct name of the group, and it still wouldn't come up in the search. The only group that came up was a group that ridicules chemtrails. So this is what they're doing, folks. So, you know, all you're doing on Facebook and on YouTube really is talking to an echo chamber, because new people cannot ever find your work. YouTube and Facebook are making sure that the only people who are going to be hearing what you say are the people who are already there on your friends list, people who are already on your subscriber base, and they're deleting them and replacing them as well. Now, I've had Facebook replacing people on my friends list. I've had people contact me and say, hey, Max, how come you unfriended me? And I'll look and I'll go, well, I don't remember unfriending you, and I can look at my list and see that I've still got 5,000 friends, so obviously I didn't unfriend you. Facebook unfriended you, and they replaced you with somebody else, just to keep an eye on me. And that's what they've been doing. They've been doing that to my pages for a couple of years now. So it's important that we find other platforms, other social media platforms, and other ways of spreading information. I mean, I'm going to continue uploading to YouTube simply because I've got so many subscribers there, and everything I upload to YouTube is automatically put on BitChute anyway. But if my channel does go down on YouTube, I'll just move over to BitChute. I don't even know if I'll bother uploading to YouTube anymore, although maybe I'll upload to my AOD Scarecrow channel and to BitChute if the AOD Scarecrow channel remains. Now, I'd like to open an account on Minds, but someone has already used the name The Crow House on Minds. So I don't know if anyone out there happens to be listening. If you happen to be the one who owns the name The Crow House on Minds, and there's some of my videos that have been posted there as well, if anybody out there actually owns that name, if they'd like to actually give me that name and let me have that channel, that would be wonderful, because that's the name that I was going to use on Minds. And that's kind of what's prevented me from opening an account there. So, yeah, just on the off chance that anybody out there might own that page or own that name, please, if you could contact me, that would be wonderful. But we do need to do this sort of thing, folks. I mean, sure, still post to Facebook and still post to YouTube and still use these mainstream controlled platforms as long as we can, just to get the information out to people. But it's imperative that we find alternative platforms to use, such as Minds, such as BitChute. Otherwise, we're simply going to have our voices silenced. And what is more important than any of that is people getting out and getting involved in the real world. And I can't stress this enough, ladies and gentlemen. I really can't. I mean, this is why I get out so much, and it's why I travel so much. And, you know, I spend so much time actually out there in activism. I'm away from home usually for at least 6 months of the year. This last year is the only year, or the first year since 2012, that I haven't been away from home for about 6 months of the year, just out there doing the hard miles, doing the slog, attempting to wake people up on the ground all over the world, everywhere I've gone. So it's imperative that people just get involved in their local communities. I mean, I'm not asking you to get out and travel around the world. Just get out and get involved in your local communities. Talk to people. Make eye contact with people. Now, go to local meetings and local gatherings and local markets or whatever. Hand out flyers. Just talk to people. Meet people. Get the information to them out there on the ground. Don't just use social media, because you're not ever going to reach any new people on social media. The algorithms are in place now. They've already done it. The censorship has rolled out, and it's just very, very difficult. Like I said, even if they search for you, they're not going to find you. So, you know, the only people that are going to find your work now are the people that you already know, the people you've already connected with. And even, you know, if they share your work, half the time you share these links and it just says page not found, or that link cannot be displayed, dead link, whatever. And it's the algorithms doing it. You know, you post on Facebook or you post on YouTube, post the links to BitChute, and half the people click the link and it just says page not found, link broken. This is what it says. It'll just give you a comment like that, link broken, when it's not broken. It's just the algorithm making you think it's broken. Then you don't even go and search for it. It doesn't say, you know, cannot find this site or site cannot be accessed or anything like that. It just says link broken. And then you think, oh yeah, no worries, wrong URL. And you forget about it, you go on your way, and you forget about that information even existing. Very clever the way they do it, folks. Very, very clever. But just little things like that, you know, using the comment link broken rather than telling you what's really going on. This is the way they sort of program people, subtle NLP, and it's the way they get people to think and do what they want them to do, and they corral them and shift them in the direction they want to shift them in. People may not realize it, but it's these little subtle things, the subtle way they do these little things that makes all the difference in the way people think and the way they react. You know, even with what Alan Watt said in the opening quote, how we, you know, the ideas that we have aren't ours because we think in language and images that were given to us by society. It isn't just languages and images that are given to us by society. You know, there's subtle programming in almost every aspect of what we experience as human beings in the world today. It's phenomenal, the amount of programming that we're under. You know, television, of course, has been a major contributor to this. There was a film, I think I mentioned it once before, you know, The Breakdown of the Family Unit. There was a film that came out in the 60s, I think the early 60s, called The Divorce. And before that time, everyone was kind of in normal family units, and when that film, The Divorce, came out and kind of portrayed divorce as being something attractive and something that children liked, then I think the divorce rate in the United States and in Western countries in general went up something like 60% in the year following the release of that movie. So, you know, the programming is on so many levels, and people, like it said in the movie Network, was the Howard Beale, the man in Network, and he was saying, you know, you people out there, you dress like the Tube, you act like the Tube, you think like the Tube, you do everything that the Tube tells you. There's a whole generation of people that never knew anything that didn't come out of this Tube. And that's the way it's like. And it's now like that for the internet as well. And when you see how the internet is becoming more and more censored, information is becoming more and more filtered, and people simply can't get the information that they need. And even if they search for it, Google isn't going to show it to them. Google's just going to say, no, that doesn't exist, and it's going to lead you somewhere else. So, you know, the level of programming is absolutely phenomenal, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And we've been really led into this in such a subtle way, because the internet was always something that was so free. You know, when the internet first started, you could search and you could find all sorts of stuff, find anything you wanted to find. You'd be able to find it eventually. I mean, if you searched hard enough, eventually you'd find it. But now they're making sure that you can't. You know, they do all this stuff to get us in there and to make us believe that everything is open and free and you can find anything you want to find. Because it started off that way. It started off free. It started off you could find anything you wanted to find. And so you begin to think that that's the way it's always going to be. And then they gradually filter it and gradually filter it more and more and more. And before you know it, you've been led into this little corral that you didn't know that you've been led into. And you don't even know that you're in this corral, because you started off in this big free roaming area and you think you're still in that free roaming area, but you're not. That free roaming area is just a facade to get you into the corral that they've got you into now. You know, and people just don't realize that. They think it's still free. It's all open. It's just a computer, and computers can't lie. And people really think that. You know, there was a time at the airport about 6 months ago, I think, or whenever it was, whenever I was traveling around, 6, 8 months ago, I was at an airport somewhere, and there was a Canadian guy sitting opposite me, a young guy. He was about 24 years old. Obviously very intellectual. He looked like he was a university student, so he had that kind of air about him that he really knew what he was doing. He was really only 24 years old, but he'd read a lot of books, and so he thought he knew a lot of things. And we were talking about something, and he didn't agree with what I was saying, and I said, well, that's just the way it is. When you get a little older, you'll realize this is the way the world works. And he said, well, I don't believe you. He said, so let's put it to the test. He said, I'll Google it. And I said, what do you mean you'll Google it? And he said, well, if it's true, then Google will tell us. And I said, you don't seriously think that your results on Google aren't filtered, do you? And he said, of course they're not filtered. Google tells us the truth. That's what it's for. It's a search engine. It doesn't have a human influence not wanting me to see certain things or hiding things from me. I simply put in a phrase and Google tells me what information exists about that phrase. And he seriously believed it. And this was a guy with a university education, you know, and he believed Google is telling him the truth, that that is the purpose of Google. Google cannot lie. And this was a kid who's actually educated. So that's pretty freaky, folks. And that's the way a lot of people think. That's, you know, a lot of people look at the internet and they think, oh, this is just a computer program. The computer can't lie because it's a computer. They don't understand how algorithms work, filter algorithms and search filters and all of these sorts of things that they put into the machine and into the computer to control what it does. Sure, Google finds all the results that you're looking for, and then it puts all the ones that you want over there in the corner where you can't find them and gives you the rest, because that's what the algorithm in the search engine tells it to do. And no, it isn't that Google is evil. It's that the people that program Google want it to do these things. But that's how we get led into it, folks. And it's really interesting to see that that's actually what a lot of the young people think. They think that the computer simply can't lie. Now, that's why it's so difficult to get information regarding 5G and all of this stuff out to people. I mean, we're sharing the information. We're doing all we can. We're creating these groups on Facebook. We're creating all sorts of platforms. We're getting out there and we're doing it. But even when we create a website regarding this information, people search it and they just don't find it in the search results. Now, even if someone is, you know, feeling a little bit suspect about 5G and they want more information on it, they search for it and they don't find it in the search results. So they start thinking, well, maybe I'm a little crazy, because the sites they do find are all saying, oh, no, this is all perfectly safe. You know, so that's the problem that we're dealing with, folks. That's why you've got to get out in the real world. You've got to start handing flyers out to people, doing letterbox drops, going to council meetings and just getting involved. You know, and I've been saying this for so many years now that, you know, that's what we have to do is get involved in the real world, get to know your neighbors, get to know people around you. And, you know, even if you've got a business or something, or you're a shop attendant or something, I mean, you could print some flyers and you could put them on the counter of your business. You know, if you're going shopping one day, you could take some with you and you could put them on the windscreens of cars. You could just do something. I mean, there's little things we can do every day in our own lives which will make a difference. You know, and you might go and put flyers on 100 cars and only 5 or 10 of them might actually read the flyer. But if those 5 or 10 read the flyer and it actually sinks in and then they spread the information to others, well, then it does make a difference. Even if one person reads the flyer, it makes a difference. Now, our problem is that we're just not prepared to do these things sometimes, you know. We just involve ourselves in collectivism all the time and not any real activism in the real world. You know, not going out to meetings and not getting involved with people. And this is what we need to do. You know, we really, really need to do this, folks. We've got to get out and involved in the real world and realize that, you know, we were making a difference online for a while. I mean, I've reached thousands of people. I'm sure many of the people listening to this have reached thousands of people as well. You know, through the internet, we've been able to do all sorts of incredible things. But now it's getting to the time where we can't. You know, they've kind of got all the people that are into this alternate research or into the truth or whatever you want to call it, and they've kind of put us all in our own little pen. So now we're in this big echo chamber and we're all talking to each other, but we can't bring any new people in. We can't reach any new people. They can't even find us if they search for us. So we've got to be bringing them into the circle ourselves. Yeah. And when we do it online, like I said, we can't even send them links because they click the links and it tells them the link's broken. So they don't even go and check out what you want to send them. They're not interested in the information because they think the link's broken. Oh, something's wrong here. Or if it's banned by the government, then maybe it must be a terrible site with a Trojan on it or whatever. I get people still telling me that when they go to my website, they get reports that my site's unsafe. There's Trojans on there. There's malicious software on there or whatever. And there isn't. You know, this is just what Google's doing to stop the spread of information. So that's why it's difficult to even bring people in the virtual world, you know, to bring people in and give them access to information in the virtual world because the links don't work anymore, you know, and the sites are blocked and, you know, everything is being hidden. So that's why we have to get involved in the real world. It's just incredibly important that we do this. It really is. But anyway, folks, I think we've reached break time, so I'll leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And I'll be back to speak to you in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so we really do face some challenges. It's really got to be admitted that we do face some upcoming challenges in the upcoming year or two, folks. We really do. You know, this whole 5G thing really is a concern. You know, and as I've said so many times, you know, it's not just the electromagnetic radiation and the smart city and the surveillance state. It's also the mind control aspects and everything they can do with that. Actually, there's an interesting video that you can find that was sent to me by a friend, and this was released on YouTube back in 2011, and it's talking about experiments that were done back, I think, in the 1950s called Woodpecker, and it's basically 5G technology. It's basically experimenting with electromagnetic frequencies to induce mind control over large sections of population. They did all these experiments back in the 1950s, and it's actually 5G technology they were using back then. So that's an interesting thing as well. I'll put that in the link below as well as the video that I mentioned before by Matt Landman. I'll put that in a link below as well so that you can go and check out these things. And also something else that I want to mention while it just springs to my mind as well is, as I was talking about, you know, we need to find other ways and other social media platforms. There's a guy called Derek, otherwise known as Indigo Artist, and he has opened a website called Red Pill Posters. And what he's done is he's kind of linked it up to my YouTube channel. He can probably link it up to yours as well, or you can go and sign up to the site and link your channel up. And it's kind of similar to BitChute in as much as it's mirroring all of my entire Crowhouse YouTube channel on this site called Red Pill Posters. So that's another way of making sure this information gets preserved, and it's another platform that's opening up for us. And, you know, we need to use as many of these platforms as possible. I've also got an account on Brighteon, which is Mike Adams video platform, but I've been having difficulty uploading to it the times that I've tried. So, but I will maybe try to get something posted up on there eventually as well. But we need to have as many alternate platforms as possible and try to find our way off Facebook and YouTube. Although, as I said, it's still good to use them until we get blocked or whatever, just because there's a chance that more people will find information on these platforms because, well, it's just where the people are. You know, even if they can't find us in searches, they may stumble across it somehow. Maybe it'll come up in a recommendation by mistake, or maybe someone can send them a link or whatever. And YouTube isn't blocked in too many countries, so it's still a good way to give information out to people. But as I said, we need to find as many alternate platforms as we can. And I do recommend you go and check out that site, redpillposters.com, and you'll find the Crow House YouTube channel on that site already, which has been done for me, and I would like to send out my most sincere thanks to Derek for doing that. It's great when this sort of stuff happens, folks. You know, someone that you've never met before, that you just don't know, sends you a link and says, hey, look, I've done all this stuff, and here's all your stuff preserved forevermore. And that's great that people do that sort of thing. And it's really great to see a lot of people wanting to step up and do this and host these platforms and create these platforms and just create every means they can of supporting and sharing this type of information and preserving this type of information as well. You know, the more places we put it, then the more chance we have of preserving the information. You know, because if they close down the YouTube channel, well, that's like 11 years worth of videos, hundreds and hundreds of videos will all disappear into cyberspace. Fortunately, I have them all still on disk. I have them all on an external hard drive, all kept pretty safe, pretty well everything I've ever done. So that's one consolation. But it certainly would be a bit of a mammoth task re-uploading it all to the internet. So it's good to know that there's these mirror sites around, such as BitChute and such as Red Pill Posters, so that the information is mirrored and preserved. You know, and it's so good when people just do things randomly for other people. You know, it really would make such a difference in the world if we applied this type of logic to our everyday life. You know, this is why I finish every radio show with In Lakesh, I am another yourself. You know, when you can look at each person you come across as being simply a different expression of creation, you know, simply with a different perspective, a different point of view, it really helps you put down all your stuff with people. You know, this is a lot of the time why I even respond to some of the trolls on my channel, because I just want to know what makes these people think this way, why they have such incredible animosity to other people simply because they have a different perspective to them. It kind of fascinates me in a way, you know, and I can't help but reaching out to these type of people. That's why I respond to them so often, because I just want to understand them. I want to try to figure out why they dislike me so much. I mean, I can't figure it out. I mean, they've never met me. So what is it about my perspective that upsets them so much is the question. And it happens with me as well. I mean, sometimes I react to people. When I do react to people, you know, it kind of fascinates me sometimes that they've managed to arouse that type of emotion in me. And so I wonder what it is in me that I'm seeing reflected in them that makes me want to attack them so much as well. You know, or to respond so much anyway. I mean, I don't really want to attack anybody. I try not to attack anybody. But sometimes I respond in a very human way. Sometimes, you know, if someone gives me a very, very negative, very personal, accusational comment, I'll very often respond in kind. But, you know, and even when I do that, I wonder why. I wonder what it's all about. I wonder what triggers this emotion in people. You know, I find the whole human experience to be quite fascinating. I really do. You know, the emotional baggage that we often carry around with us, I find it to be quite intriguing that we would do this to ourselves. You know, very often through my life, in the early portions of my life, you know, I carried so much baggage around, so much emotional baggage from some of the stuff that happened in my childhood and stuff, that I was my own worst enemy for many, many years. You know, I was a complete misfit, but it was kind of evenly balanced. You know, I had a chip on both shoulders, so you know, that's the way I was in my life. And it wasn't until I realized it was all an emotional mirror that I realized how easy it was to change things. And sometimes, you know, I even wonder with the trolls whether they're just people out there that are paid to do that, and whether half of their goal is to put you back into that state because they know it's an emotional mirror, and they know that if they can get you agitated, then your life around you is going to become agitated. That's the way it goes. You know, you can go and find someone who's having a decent life out in the real world. You can go and troll them on YouTube, and you can agitate them and get them upset and get them feeling out of character. Then they'll go outside and they'll stub their toe and get red traffic lights all the way to work, and all these things will go wrong out there in the real world because of the emotional state they're in when they leave the computer and go out into the real world, because the trolls have put them in that agitated state. And so now the world presents them with an agitated reality because it's all an emotional mirror. You know, so you got to look at things this way as well. That's why even when I'm responding to trolls and stuff on YouTube, I don't have any stake in the outcome. I'm not really getting emotionally involved in it. I'm more fascinated than anything else. So I'm very careful not to allow it to affect me emotionally, some of the stuff that you see on YouTube. And it's very important that people do that, you know, when looking at some of the comments from trolls and things. Now, people can be very, very nasty when they're commenting, and it can be very, very hurtful if you choose to take this sort of stuff on board and take it to heart. You've got to realize that the people who are doing these things, they'd never say these sorts of things to your face. If you're faced with them in the real world, they would never, ever say these things. Most people are too scared to say these sorts of things to people. So, you know, it's not really their true personality. Half of them are just venting their own frustrations because of their own impotency in the face of this Leviathan that we're facing. A lot of people look at it and they're screaming and blue murder at it, but they don't know what to do about it. And that frustration causes them to lash out at other people and get energy from them. And a lot of it is just an energy harvest. I mean, that's what a lot of these people are doing. They're just disconnected, so they've got to harvest energy from other people. And you can always tell the ones that are really disconnected because they will post a whole list of questions for you. And it doesn't matter how many times you answer them, they'll still post the same list of questions for you. You know, it's just this energy thing. They want your energy. They want you to sit there and do a point-by-point response to them for all of these points I've outlined. I've actually done this with a couple of people, and I've actually gone through and I've given them a point-by-point response. And then the next week later, they'll come along and they'll post the same questions on another video clip, and they'll do this over and over again, and you think, okay, this guy's just out for an energy harvest, and it doesn't matter what you say to him, he's going to keep doing it, so you just kind of hit the block button. Sometimes you have to do it. It's a shame, but, well, sometimes you have to do it. I mean, that's what a lot of it is, folks. It's just one big energy exchange, and people do this because they're disconnected themselves, you know. And when you're disconnected from source, you've got no real connection to energy. The easiest and most readily available source of energy that you've got is other people. All you have to do is go and mess up their day and take their good feelings, and you feel fine. And a lot of people do that, unfortunately. It's just what we do because it's an easy source of food for people. You know, especially if you're an empathetic sort of a person, you know, if you're a kind sort of a feeling sort of a person, then you're usually a pretty easy target for these people because you will respond in the way they want and they get the energy that they're looking for. And it's very, very easy to do this on the internet. You know, people can have interactions with people they wouldn't normally have interactions with on the internet, and they can harvest energy from people that they wouldn't normally come into contact with. And that's why they troll. You know, discussion's one thing, debate's one thing, but trolling is something completely different. So it's important to see that this is what's happening to you when people are trolling your channel as well and people are trolling your clips. You know, you just can't take any of it to heart. You know, if you want to interact with them and attempt to understand them, well, that's one type of an experiment you can indulge in if you want to. But it's good not to give them any energy by getting upset with them and showing that you have any type of reaction to them. You know, it's just an attempt to understand them. So that's something to keep in mind when doing this sort of work as well. You know, you've got to have pretty thick skin to do this type of work. That's something that I always say to people. You know, I have a few of my younger friends have come and said, Max, I really want to get active. I kind of want to do what you're doing online. And the first thing I say to them is, how thick is your skin? Because you're going to need very, very thick skin to do this work, because as soon as you start making a difference, you're going to get trolled. And even if you go in as the battling underdog and people really support your message and support what you do, as soon as you start reaching a few people, a lot of the people that supported you when you were the underdog are going to turn on you because now you're the tall poppy and they want to hack you down. That's what happens. That's how the truth community has kind of been weaponized against itself, like I talked about last week. And we've been kind of given a mentality whereby we never let ourselves get anywhere, because as soon as one voice begins to make a difference, everyone else hacks him down and makes sure that he never rises above the pile, so no one else ever gets to hear them. This is one of the things they've done with the internet. You know, you give everybody a soapbox, so it just becomes a complete cacophony, and that way the real voices and the important voices never get heard. Very clever, you know. You know, we think the internet gives us freedom. Really, it hasn't. It's just given us a huge squawking platform where we've got so many people who just want to have their two cents and put it out there, regardless of whether it's the truth or not, and so nobody gets heard. That's the way they've done it, folks. Pretty clever, but very, very effective. You know, that's one thing about the internet. You know, the internet has been presented to us as a way of creating unity and a way of getting us more connected and more open with each other. But it's actually created a whole bunch of disunity, and it's caused to disconnect everybody from each other by disconnecting them from real connections with real people in the real world. I think it's time we paid attention to that, folks, and got back in touch with what it means to be human. I really do. I mean, that is the way out. It really is. Especially when you look at this whole smart system that's coming online and the way everything is going smart and the way the internet is basically controlling all of our lives. You know, the best way to get away from that, folks, is to get off the internet, get out of the virtual world, and get back in touch with the real world. I mean, sure, I still use it. I use the internet every day. But you've got to go and do things in the real world as well. And really, if you're not doing more things in the real world than what you're doing online, well, you know, there's a little bit of an imbalance there I think people should perhaps pay attention to. Now, life is a very, very short thing, folks. It's breath. It's just such a quick experience, and you don't want to miss it. You know, too many people are missing it. They're just sitting there looking at screens, or they're, you know, even a lot of people in the truth community just sitting there terrified of all this stuff that's going to happen outside and all this terrible future we're heading into. And they're forgetting to enjoy their lives and enjoy this experience along the way. And that is so crucial. Such a big part of it, folks. You know, whatever is happening, don't forget to enjoy yourself while you're here. It's so important that you do that. You know, and even with all this and all the stuff I do, look at all the negative information, do all the research that I do and this whole path of activism that I've chosen to walk. You know, I mean, I do this because I enjoy it. When I started researching this stuff, I mean, when I was 8 years old and I started looking into the pyramids and it all kind of snowballed from there, you know, I did it because I enjoyed it. I mean, I stepped away from it for a long time. I forgot about it for a long time. I became a musician, did other things, but I did them because I enjoyed them. And even now, I mean, speaking out for truth and finding the way through this mess, you know, it's kind of like being a tomb raider, isn't it? You know, trying to work out the puzzle and find the buried treasure at the whole end of the rainbow thing, you know? You know, the buried treasure, of course, is freedom and expansion of consciousness. And, you know, looking at the puzzles that they put before us, looking at all the myriad of rabbit holes we've got to go down, you know, just being able to see your way through the whole thing. I mean, it's a great test, and I find the whole thing to be enjoyable, to be honest. And just experiencing the thrill of the path unfolding before me, I mean, it's kind of thrilling. I mean, and no stake in the outcome. That's the thing. You know, I don't have to be right on anything. I have absolutely no stake on being right in anything that I say, anything that I've ever brought you on the show. I have no stake in any of it being right. It's not about being right. It's just about the experience. And you could prove me wrong tomorrow, and I'm quite happy to go that way because I don't have any stake in being right in anything. It's not about that. It's just about the experience. And if you are so concerned with being right with things, well, where do you end that? Where do you find what is right? Where do you get to the point where you say, yes, I believe this, and then you stop allowing other stuff to come in, stop allowing other information to come in? You know, I've often said, belief is the enemy of knowledge, and knowledge is the path itself. So you have to simply let it unfold. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of life. That's the thrill of the ride. That's the thrill of doing this research, having no stake in the outcome and just allowing it to unfold, to see where the path leads. It's beautiful. And it doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter if other people think you're wrong or other people think you're right, or it doesn't matter who's right or wrong. It's just allowing the path to unfold. When you do that, the truth will present itself to you. It always does. Again, it's beautiful. I mean, that's why you can look at all of this stuff and you can just see it for what it is. And, you know, I don't have any fear of what's coming because, you know, I mean, I'm concerned about it. I'm not going to participate in it. They might kill me because I don't participate in it. But, hey, that'll just be the way I exit this realm. You know, I don't have any fear of death either, so that doesn't really bother me. You know, it's been a good life so far, so that's just the way it's going to be. But, you know, I find the whole thing to be incredibly fascinating and really, if you want to step back and look at it and figure out how to get through this whole circus that we call reality, the freak show, as George Carlin used to put it, what did he say? If you're born onto the earth, you're given a ticket to the freak show. And if you're born in the United States, you're given a front row seat. It kind of is like that, but the whole world is sort of becoming a front row seat now, I think. It's getting pretty chaotic everywhere. But really, if you want to step back and look at it, I mean, the whole thing is like one big energy machine. It really is. Everything we do is an energy exchange. Every interaction we have with every other person is an energy exchange. Every trade we do, every little piece of commerce, everything, every interaction, it's all one big energy exchange. You know, it's like a big energy machine that we're involved in. And even when you start looking deeper at things, you start looking at us as being energetic beings, you know, really we are simply electrical beings more than anything else. You know, the physicality, the body, the biological computer that we inhabit is just something we can use for experience, something we can use for motion, something we can use for physical sensation. But ultimately, it's just one big energy thing. You know, and everything is energy. And when you look at, even when you look at the 5G, you look at where we're going and being moved into this whole AI reality and all this sort of stuff they want to lead us into, even this is an energy exchange. And as they say, where attention goes, energy flows. You know, it's only happening because we give our attention to it. So the question is, how long are we going to give our attention to all of this technological stuff and, you know, give our energy to that? Rather than give it to ourselves and give it to the people around us and realize that this whole thing is a big energy machine. And the more we give our energy away to AI, the less real energy exchange we have in reality. You know, when you think about things such as the Matrix, you know, you've got those guys lying in the tube and they're giving all their energy to the machine. I mean, we're kind of doing that anyway without really entering those tubes, those capsules that the people were in. You know, we're kind of becoming more and more still. You know, when we're interacting with the world, we're doing it by not really interacting with the world. You know, we sit down and we get our laptops, we get our computers, we get our virtual reality headsets or whatever we do. And whenever we become active in the virtual world, we become still in the real world. You know, so it's all backwards. It's all opposite. So we're actually giving our energy to that world. We're powering that world like batteries anyway. As soon as we turn on our laptops, as soon as we pick up our cell phones, as soon as we start interacting with that scrying mirror, then the world within that mirror becomes the real world and we become disconnected and still in the actual world. You know, the only movement we're experiencing is really the movement in the virtual world. You might be running around a game or doing whatever it is we're doing, chatting around on a forum, clicking our way, surfing the internet, as they say. But we're not out there surfing the ocean. We're not out there surfing grass hills. We're not out there actually walking around and doing things. We're just surfing the internet. And even the word surfing, I mean, it kind of sounds active, sounds like you're doing something, but really you're not. It's very clever, really, the lingo when you think about it. You know, everything's been mirrored. Everything's backwards. And it's very clever the way they've done it, but it's kind of disturbing when you think about it. You just think just how backwards everything's become. And people don't really notice it because they think they're participating because it's all sort of bright and colorful and active on the screen. Very interesting stuff. Interesting the way our mind works. Interesting the type of psychology that's been used against us. Makes you wonder, you know, whether, you know, they just came up with this or whether they've done this many, many times before. This is where I start looking into things such as history and the mud flood and resets and how many times population has actually been destroyed, how much this cycle happens, how often this cycle happens, what all the warnings of scrying mirrors and all these things are about, how often they change history, how often they rewrite history. You know, how further dumbed down we get with every type of reset, every type of gathering of energy and gathering of information. Because that's what I think a lot of this is. You know, I think these endpoints where we get the scrying mirrors and we all get the internet, you know, the internet kind of collects the sum total of the human experience up to this point. You know, it gets the sum total of the intellect of humankind. And also, there's ways, I think, that have been put in place to kind of eliminate all the intelligentsia that may be left. You can get people, intelligent people, and maneuver them into certain positions on Earth and then perhaps have cataclysms, wipe out that section completely, and the world gets a little bit dumber every cataclysm. And it'd be a way of doing it as well. It's something else that I've mused on a little bit lately. Perhaps I'll expand on that in a future show, perhaps next week or the week after. I do really want to get back to history and start looking at some of the possibilities of things that have happened and could possibly be happening. And that's something that I really do want to get back into, folks. So, yeah, I'll get back into that soon. There's a lot I'd like to share in regard to that. A lot of it's speculative, but I think it's interesting and sometimes productive to speculate on these things. I think a lot of this stuff's going to be censored from the internet soon as well. I mean, you've even got to wonder where a lot of it comes from. You know, a lot of the information that we've got on the internet, you know, you've got to really wonder how it got there and how true any of it is. Yeah. I mean, when you go around the world, you can verify a lot of things, but, you know, a lot of things just can't be verified, so you've got to wonder. But one thing I am completely sure of is that our history is not what they've told us that it is, and that is evidenced around the world everywhere. So I have no qualms in saying that at all. But as I said, it is getting more and more difficult to research these things because the internet is changing so dramatically. You know, a lot of information is being expunged from the internet and a lot of new stuff is filtering through. And as I said, you've really got to wonder where some of it's coming from, how true any of it is, how much of it is put there just to lead us down rabbit holes and to distract us from what's going on around us. And that's something I've found as well. I mean, you know, when you start looking into all this history stuff and Tartaria and all these things, it's very romantic. You know, it fires up the imagination and it kind of wants you to run down that rabbit hole and it leads you down, and there's a great danger of just jumping down there and becoming distracted from what's actually happening around us. So that's kind of why I left it on the back burner for a little while, because as much as I was enjoying it, I didn't want to get lost in it and suddenly wake up to find myself living in a 5G smart city. That wouldn't be very good. I don't think the research and whatever I found from the research would really be worth the price that I paid. So that's why I left that alone. But I will come back to that very soon, folks. And I am looking forward to doing so, I must say. But, well, once again, we have reached that time where it is now the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. As I mentioned before, there are social media sites springing up, such as Red Pill Posters, that you can go and mirror your videos to, and you will find me on BitChute if I disappear from YouTube. As I've also mentioned to you previously, I will be speaking at a few events. I'm speaking at an event here on the Gold Coast in Queensland called the Paradigm Shift Summit. I think that is on the 14th or the 17th of August next month. After that, I will be speaking at an event in Philadelphia called Anarchadelphia, and you'll find a link to that on my website. You can go and get a ticket to that. If you use the coupon The Crow House or just Crow House, you'll find you will get a discount on that ticket. I'm also speaking at Anarchapulco in Mexico in February. I don't know whether the coupon Crow House works on the Anarchapulco site. However, if you go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, and you click the Anarchapulco banner from that site and go in from that entry point, you will find you will get yourself a 5 or 10% discount on your ticket to Anarchapulco. So that's really the way to go in if you'd like to come and see me there. Thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails. I have got through a few emails this week, so if you're still waiting for a reply, hopefully I'm getting to yours soon. And I am going to attempt to bring you some information on history again soon. I'd really like to get off this whole 5G smart city topic that I've been on for so long lately. It's just that it's so important. And, you know, with it ongoing around the world and ongoing in my community around me, I kind of feel a little bit guilty if I leave the topic and go and talk about other things. But I really would like to bring you some more information about history soon. So maybe even next week or the week after, I'm going to bring you some more stuff regarding Tartaria and a few other things that I've been looking at. So that's something hopefully to look forward to, hopefully to break up the dialogue a little bit. Like I said, I'm getting a little bit tired of the 5G and smart city stuff, but it's just such an ongoing problem and such an immediate and clear and present danger we face that I've been kind of pushing it a lot lately so that people stand up and pay attention. We can't drop the ball on this, so that's what I've been doing with that. But as I said, I'll try to bring you some more stuff on history very soon. But again, thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails. Thank you, thank you, thank you to my Patreon supporters. As I always say, I could not do any of this if it wasn't for your help. And so thank you for that, because you really are making a difference, because all the difference that I make comes from the support that you give me. So yeah, thank you. I cannot thank you enough. But that is it for me, folks. I've now completely run out of time, so I'll have to leave it there for now. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please do go and check out those clips that I put below. And please do go and check out that new site that I mentioned, Red Pill Posters. And I'll speak to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.